Hello.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Happy Halloween Sunday to you and yours, and NFL Sunday and sports weekend. Right? It's been awesome. College and professional sports weekend. So happy Halloween and all of that good stuff, and blessed Sunday to you and yours. Thank you for tuning in to Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. I am Beth, a.k.a. Be True. Big shout out to everybody that I effectively network with in person and most definitely online. The social media rocks worldwide, right? And especially a big shout out, since today is part two of a focus on the one and only James Franco. A big shout out to the my friends, my Franco friends fam, and the James Franco Project closed Facebook group on Facebook, which has been have caught the attention. Have I told you that? Of Facebook have noticed the James Franco Project closed Facebook page. So we're now Instagram at the James Franco Project group. Group is GRP. Everything else is the same. So thank you to everybody that we've been networking with worldwide, that network with me at Beth Entrepreneur on Instagram, and also with the group on at the James Franco Project. And those of you that network with me, closed group, the Revolution, Minneapolis Sound closed group, and also we're still trying to save Dallas. So also all the Save Dallas fam out there. But most importantly, thank you all for, you know, just keeping in touch and sharing what projects you're working on, from humanitarian to business, you know, from profit to nonprofit. It take all of us supporting one another, from our local communities to internationally, right? And definitely supporting and praying for our leaders of the world also, because they, remember, they supposed to be representing us, we the people. So you leaders of the world, remember that you're representing the people. So, you know, we're in this together. I guess we will talk about hot topics and so on regarding James Franco. Look like each Sunday we'll talk about the awesome work of James, especially up until the premiere of The Disaster Artist. It premieres on December the 1st, hit theaters nationwide on December 8th, and I had just gotten information from superfan Lizzie Ages, who created an awesome page earlier this year called the Awesome James Franco page, and she had just relayed information to me regarding James making an appearance at the Vulture Film Festival in L.A. on November the 18th. So that film festival goes on November the 18th and 19th. And James will do a Q&A session from 5:45 to 6:45. So that will be one of the last opportunities to, like, meet and greet with him and learn a lot about the making of The Disaster Artist before it premieres. You know, James is getting a lot of award season buzz. The film and James, his cast and James, because, you know, Oscar, you know, award season buzz, and also he's getting Oscar buzz. And, you know, he was nominated before, but, there, you know, they're saying, but there's a lot of competition out there, right? But I can't wait to see the film, because that's the artist, and it remains to be seen. That's what the buzz is. Only been hearing good things about the film, the entire cast and crew. But, you know, and definitely if you're a part of the group, we share exclusive news in the group, because James doesn't even act like he used to on social media. You know, there was a time he was known as the Steffi King, and so he's not interacting the way he have done in the past. He's busy working on many projects and just, you know, taking a breather and taking time off. And so we are getting exclusive info, and many people that work with him and at his studio and collaborators are part of the group, and so blessed to have them to be a part of the group. And some of the members are waiting for James to pop in and, you know, do a Facebook Live or a Q&A with the members of the group. But tonight is the finale of The Deuce, the HBO's hot show, hit show. I mean, all-star cast, even some amazing newcomers are faces that we've seen little of in the past. That show is a hit, and there will be a season two, thank God. So looking forward to seeing season two whenever The Deuce returns, hopefully in the spring. You know, sometimes seasons start early spring and mid-season and so on, so hopefully they won't make us wait until fall. So hopefully their new season will start like early spring and so on. So hope some of the members or some of the listeners will call in. I know there are other hot topics going on also. The focus is James Franco Part 2, but if you want to discuss any other interesting topics, you can chime in also. And I will give you more details on those dates. But you can call in at 646-787-1578 also. Okay, that's the number. So I am going to flip over so I can provide you with more information regarding the Vulture Film Festival. More detailed info. I shared the info on social media. And you can go to Eventbrite also for more detailed information. But Vulture Festival LA, and it's sponsored by AT&T, on November the 18th, 5:45 to 6:45. And that is the weekend before Thanksgiving, the weekend before my mother's 86th birthday. So thank you all that have been keeping my mom and I in your prayers also regarding my mother's health and all. 5:45, 6:45. Location, Hollywood, Roosevelt, AT&T Studio, 7000 Hollywood Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90028. The description of the event is the disaster artist James Franco will join Vulture Festival to discuss his new film, The Disaster Artist, a film about the making of the Martin cult classic The Room, known to his many fans as the greatest bad movie of all time. Vulture critics have said The Disaster Artist is James Franco at his peak, and The Disaster Artist is a great movie about a terrible one. And the tickets are only $25. You know, that's awesome. Includes access to the AT&T Vulture Lounge poolside at the Hollywood Roosevelt, and you get one complimentary drink per ticket holder. So that's pretty awesome. So you can look under the you know, the hashtags, things to do in Los Angeles, Festival of Film and Media. And I've shared it throughout, again, my my social media presence. And the Vulture Festival states that, hey, L.A., Vulture Festival is expanding. After 4 years of hosting Vulture Festival in New York City, the festival is coming to Los Angeles, taking place at the Hollywood Roosevelt over the weekend of November the 19th. 2017, again, that's the holiday weekend before Thanksgiving. In true Vulture style, the festival will once again bring the witty, in-depth, critical coverage found on the web to life with two jam-packed days of events, including live performances, screenings, animated conversations, comedy, and more. So again, those of you in L.A., in the area, those of you visiting, you know, I have friends that have been visiting L.A. that work in the media here in Jackson, Mississippi this week. So my L.A. friends and those of you visiting L.A. that weekend, most definitely go check that out. That's like 2 weeks before the premiere of The Disaster Artist, like 3 weeks before it hit theaters nationwide. So that should be pretty good, and especially with all the awards season buzz and Oscar buzz. I think that would be an event. If you're in the area and don't have anything like really important other to do, like really, I mean, you should definitely attend that event. So I have shared that throughout social media also, and there's info on within the group also. I posted it within the James Franco group. So the Deuce finale is tonight. And so many that I know that are members and non-members of the James Franco group are so sad to see a finale, but we are so happy that there would be a season number two. I'm checking out an article from The Ringer, an article that I shared on social media and within the James Franco closed Facebook group. How the Deuce predicts modern day New York. The David Simon and George Pelicano series finds the seeds of gentrification in the grit of 70s Times Square. And you know what? Cities and towns all have some type of history like that. So I am thinking that that is one reason why it is such a hit. I remember here in Jackson, Mississippi, where there was a area called the Ferry Street Entertainment District. It was full of all type of businesses and just vibrant, just full of just everything. But I remember as a little girl always seeing the ladies of the night also, you know. And I think so many, this is big city New York, so many towns and cities also can relate, you know. But then also this is like a history. This show shares a history of the birth of an industry. Not just pimps and hoes, but the birth of the porn industry, of the underground porn industry, and how it became mainstream. So history buffs like myself, I mean, you just don't look at it like, oh, my God, there's so much profanity, so much sex. But that is the topic. That is the history. You know, I mean, it would take away from the for the historical value not to share what the meat of it. But the art direction of that show is so amazing, too, because it's so realistic. It's if the viewer is within the show. You know, it's just awesome. But let me continue to share this article with you. And the article is, again, at The Ringer, and I have it posted. And it's written by Allison Herman. And the first season of The Deuce takes place over a period of roughly 18 months. From the late 1970, I was two that year, to the middle of 72. Change is defined and characteristic of New York, as any wistful essay about the city would tell you. And the series has its own quick but significant shift. When the season begins, The Deuce is primarily a show about the sex workers who roam the New York's 42nd Street. At its close, commerce has moved from the streets to parlors and expanded to include film pornography, both financed by the mob. In the process, control has shifted from black pimps like CeCe, Gary Carton, Rodney, and Method Man, those pimps are something, to white mobsters like Rudy Pipilo, Michael Rispoli, right? At first glance, the handoff seems inconsequential, exchanging one kind of lawbreaker for another. But The Deuce hints that it's only the beginning of a much more fundamental transformation. True to form for creators David Simon and George Pelicano. Did I pronounce his name right? I think so. The Deuce is a sprawling and leisurely ensemble piece, united more by location and social connections than an urgent problem to solve or a climatic event to approach. The shift from one-on-one transactions to a nascent industry arrived almost imperceptibly, a crackdown here, a tentative gig there, yet the end result is undeniable, a New York that's one step closer to the one we know today. One where Times Square is better known for its M&M emporiums than porn theaters, where sex work is kept far from the sensitive eyes of tourists and their children. It's possible to read The Deuce as an early example of a phenomenal modern American city dwellers are all too familiar with. Television's foremost chronicler of urban life and the systems that govern it has finally given us a show about gentrification. The Deuce is to the commodification of public space as the wire was to the war on drugs. a surprisingly accessible, fiercely intelligent, and subtly principled exploration of a macro issue on the most micro of levels. Though this revolution is observed from the proverbial bottom, the Deuce regularly reminds its audience that its directives come from the top. The sea change begins around episode 3. I love all the episodes, but especially the end of episode 2 when James Franco, one of his characters, his tush makes a special appearance. When beat cops like Officers Austin, Lawrence Gilliard Jr., and Flanagan Dunn Harvey receive orders to treat their typical patrol area as a no-go zone for prostitution arrest. Quietly, law enforcement officers are told not to enforce the law, at least in this one strategic area. The NYPD has created an off-the-books red light district. That's what I find amazing, how NYPD, they have like their own business running. I'm like, oh, man, this is wild. Actively facilitating the sex industry as opposed to merely tolerating it. The result is something similar to The Wire's fictional Amsterdam, though with a more active agenda. Once the sex trade has been corralled into a concentrated area, it becomes even easier to push into parlors. It soon becomes clear what's behind the unofficial shift in the NYPD policy, which comes straight from its downtown headquarters. The mayor of New York City, John Lindsay, is running for president. To burnish his credentials as an effective civil servant, Lindsay wants to clean up the streets of New York, not so much to extinguish the sex trade, but enough to remove it from the public view. This paves the way for a more discreet and sophisticated kind of black market. The pimps pay a protection fee to operate out of the parlors. Free from police harassment, the bomb collects the fee, and a portion of the profits gets passed right back to the police in the form of a regular bribe. Everyone profits. I know that is a that storyline in which it comes straight from the facts and history, right? That's amazing right there. Everyone that is except the pimps, who no longer serve a clear-cut purpose in this rejiggered economy. Okay? I'm reading, and, you know, that's the language of the show, so you all get ready. Pussy's still pussy. Money's still money, sighs Cece in the penultimate episode. But the pimp, who is he right now? It won't take long for employees to connect the dots and go straight to the parlor owners and porn directors to get them paid. Free agent Eileen, oh, I love her character. And I've loved she and her brothers for ages, since the 80s. Free agent Eileen, Maggie Gyllenhaal, now working as a high-end escort by night and a porn producer by day. And she fought really hard to become a porn producer, you know. And that's really amazing. Already has. The Deuce is careful not to idealize the often abusive men who manipulate and support the women in their care. It's also well aware that pimps weren't pushed out by a mass moral awakening. They were simply eclipsed by a more powerful, entrenched, and sustainable set of overlapping interests. Simon and Pelicanos have explored the idea of a quasi-legal free-for-all before. Season 3 of The Wire centered on the aforementioned Amsterdam, the de facto open-air drug marketplace, posited by Major Buddy Colvin in his famous paper bag speech as a means to free civil resources for non-violent offenses. But Amsterdam was an initiative taken purely in the interest of public health and safety, a quality that simultaneously helped it succeed in the short term and guaranteed its failure in the long. Police-sanctioned heroin sales made for terrible official policy, and even worse, politics serving no one except Baltimore's most vulnerable and least influential citizens. But the Deuce's new status quo exists to benefit the already wealthy and established. Any positives for the sex workers whose livelihoods are affected by it are purely incidental. That's what makes the new arrangement's success a near certainty. Even if we didn't already know the future of Times Square, the rewards are reaped by those who, according to capitalism, cruel calculus, matter. Both pimps and mob bosses are making money off women's bodies. But only one of those groups has managed to align itself with the de facto ruling class. What the ruling class has wrought in the intervening decades is a landscape that will almost be unrecognizable to the characters of the Deuce, populated by the homogeneous chains displacing standalone stores and foreign shell companies that let luxury condos sit empty. driving prices up for everyone. The knowledge its audience brings to the table about the current state of New York and most metroplexes overtaken in recent decades by a tidal wave of global capital is part of what separates the Deuce from the rest of David Simon's filmography. And what it adds to his career-long mission of chronicling the American city from homicide, life on the street, to trim. Most shows associated with Simon have been studiously contemporary, documenting the lives of Baltimore and New Orleans as they currently exist. Jackson's not too far from New Orleans, like 3-hour drive, 2.5 for 2 hours for some of my friends. Recently, however, Simon's work has pivoted towards the period piece. Show Me a Hero, the 2015 miniseries centered on a housing desegregation fight in 1980s, Yonkers, derived much of its tragic tone from viewers' awareness that America's cities and suburbs remain far from integrated. The Deuces is significantly less melancholic, but a similar dramatic irony still furthers its ability to communicate the scope and magnitude of urban evolution. We're not just watching it happen. We're living in the result, where there are amenities aplenty, bank-branded bike shares, Wi-Fi on public transport, for the affluent and nowhere near enough essentials, affordable housing, accessible education for those truly in need. Right. In this way, the Deuce gets at an aspect of gentrification. No joke about third-wave coffee shops and fixed-gear bicycles can ever capture the process of renewing or reviving a given place. Ask me about the Ferry Street District now. And that was a district that I have contacted John Taffer before, the, you know, bar rescue guy, the rescue restaurants. It's like a ghost town now. An area of Jackson, Mississippi, that if you Google it, you will see the history of it. But right now, it looks like a ghost town. So that's America, just like the life and death of American Mall, right? But let me go on. The process of renewing or reviving a given place, loaded terms that often go hand in hand with rising rents, displacement, and increasing surveillance, is always more than the sum of individual choices. In the consequence of intentional high-level decisions that create the incentives that guide those choices, a mayor decides he wants to be commander-in-chief, and a dozen steps down to the food chain. A pimp loses his ability to make a living. The show is still decades off from the fully corporatized version of Times Square, but the Deuce shows an area made that much more palatable to big brands and multinational investors. Simon and Pelicano's greatest shared strengths have always been translating history book concepts into vernacular human terms. A wonderful scene from the Deuce's pilot has two pimps talk Nixon's Vietnam policy in the middle of Port Authority. Trim turned a Mardi Gras celebration into a sudden meditation on Hurricane Katrina's devastating impact on the city being celebrated. The wire's cold open boils down the myth of the equal opportunity American dream down to 70 seconds and a single card game. In its first season, the Deuce executed the trickiest version of their alchemy yet. This show isn't sentimental about 70s New York. In fact, it's careful to show how the New York of 70s contained within it the seeds of New York of 2010s. As another great HBO drama foretold, the Wild West is often nothing more than a precursor to so-called civilization. Woo! And the disclosure is HBO is an initial investor in The Ringer. So, and I have loved HBO since I was a little kid. From the concerts, oh, I remember watching greats like that, Anna Ross and Barry Manilow and Bette Midler as a little girl, and also watching movies that I probably should not have been watching, but, you know, I've always loved HBO. It doesn't mind being different and danger, and the perfect match for the Deuce. So bravo and congrats to both also. But that is a very good article, and tonight is the finale. And a lot of our international friends and members in the group, you know, some of them are like, oh, my God, you know, they hope to see, like, they didn't get a chance to see, like, the first premiere episode, and really concerned about seeing it soon. So I'm sure it won't take too long for them to get an opportunity to see that. So I'm going to peep in the studio right quick. because I'm looking at my notes on my on the same screen, so I'm like popping in and out from the studio to looking at my notes. Sometimes I take it from the heart, which I'm doing a little bit of both, because I'm reading the articles. And so no callers, so I am going to talk about another story. James has been freaking out people, and that has been something. And I had seen pictures also of him as himself at Horror Nights. But he and co-star, one of his co-stars of The Deuce, decided to surprise some that were celebrating Halloween at Universal Studios Hollywood at the Halloween Horror Nights. And so I've shared that too throughout social media. He and Chris Bauer, they suited up to scare people. And so let's see. I think I am going to, I have posted from Bravo TV throughout social media, but I believe I am going to share from Perez Hilton, someone who I have been a supporter of since his beginning. From Perez Hilton's website, he states, James Franco grabs an axe and scares the shit out of people at Hollywood Horror Nights. And, again, you can see the video there, and I'll share his blog also throughout social media. And it states, apparently James Franco found another job. The disaster artist star went to, and again, Perez Hilton was one of the stars of James making the same video that he produces with his students and producers, staffers that work for his company. And if you guys have not seen it, oh, please check it out. It is so funny. But again, Perez writes, blogs, the disaster artist star went undercover at Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights, along with Chris Bauer, his co-star from HBO's The Deuce, to scare. It has flipped to another story, okay. To scare the crap out of tourists. The actors donned Jack Nicholson mask, and it seems like he always do stuff. I mean, I don't know what it is. You know how sometimes it just seems like people vibe, and some of you probably feel the same way. It seems like he always do things that are, that are associated with some of my favorite movies. The Halloween, The Shining. Shining, one of my mom and I's favorite films. Crazy, but one of my friends told me recently that it didn't scare her, but that movie has always freaked me out. When I was, every year it came out, I guess I was like a preteen, or I had to look at the year, but that is one of my favorite scary movies. The actors donned Jack Nicholson mask and jumped out with axes in The Shining maze. Franco was even told he was great at scaring people, though we wonder how many people would run away if they knew a sexy movie star was under that latex. Check out the amazing vid. So check out the video if you haven't seen it yet. Halloween Horror Nights is open nightly for the rest of October until 1 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 2 o'clock during weekends. So that is at Universal Studios. Chris Bauer is his co-star from The Deuce, participated with him. Yeah, it's really funny. So check that out. I just played a little bit of it. I'm not sure if you could hear it. So again, Bravo TV, I've shared their blog. So I'm sharing Perez Hilton blog throughout social media. So right now I'm putting it on Facebook. And so check it out. That's awesome. So it's so much more to talk about. Our time might be coming. We have maybe a few more minutes, like maybe 10, 15 more minutes. A special announcement tomorrow here in the city of Jackson. Our mayor, Lumumba, will be speaking at 4 o'clock at the Thalia Mara Auditorium, presenting his State of the City address. at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. So that is important. He's going to share his experience, his first 100 days, things, you know, that he and his administration are focused on, and things that he thinks, you know, might be a challenge. So I hope to be able to attend. So I'm going to do my best to attend it. But if not, you know, hopefully it will be on Facebook Live for those that won't be able to attend. Even if I don't get a chance to attend, hopefully I'll be able to watch it on Facebook Live. But, again, the mayor of Jackson, Mississippi, Chokwe Lumumba, Antoine Lumumba, his dad was our mayor, and we lost him prematurely. And then Tony Yarber was our mayor, and then his son Chokwe. I knew his dad, and he was always with his dad, supporting his dad and his efforts and his community events. So he's doing he's doing an amazing job. So if it's broadcast on Facebook Live, definitely you all, and they're known internationally too because of their humanitarian work and their work as attorneys. So definitely check out his presentation of the state of the city address. Much love to he and his wife Ebony, and his sister, and of course his entire family in the Lumumba administration also. So I'm glad I remember to share that with you. And also, those that are in the path of the tropical storm, the hurricane, I'm not quite sure what's going on with it, but I was not aware of it until last evening. When I first seen the name, I thought it was called Felipe, but it's Philip, right? So praying for those, and still praying for those that are recovering from Harvey, Jose, and Maria, and many of our friends in Texas, and even in Louisiana, and Florida, and in the tropics, and Puerto Rico, still need our help. If you can't do anything else, if you believe in prayer or sending positive vibes, you know, because, you know, prayer works, and sending positive vibes, you know, like many of my atheist friends, send that love, send those positive vibes also. But those that can help on the political side and the private sector side, super amazing. So definitely network with my friend Mita Donis also, you know, who is a native of Ponce, Puerto Rico, and he travels back and forth from Puerto Rico to Dallas, so he can definitely keep you updated with a lot of things that's going on, and also connecting with our governor, and because he definitely shares a lot of information with the community, because he wants us to know exactly what's going on, so they can get the necessary help from the Trump administration and from those of us that want to do something to help. So even when many of us need help ourselves, right, we have to reach out. And, you know, we have to help each other, right? You know, while we're helping somebody else, and we're like, oh, my God, I didn't know you needed help too. So, you know, that's how life is. We got to be there for one another. But I really thank you for tuning in. Again, each Sunday until not only premiere weekend, but the weekend that the disaster artist hit theaters, December 8th. Each Sunday we will focus on James Franco and his career. And his 20-year career has so much to talk about. Oh, almost, it reminds me of my friend Ron Carbo, who is based here in Jackson, Mississippi, but he's an internationally known recording engineer who has won a Grammy and American Music Awards for his work with the Backstreet Boys and, Wynton Marsalis. Is it the, am I trying to make sure it's the Backstreet Boys? Yeah, it's the Backstreet Boys. I'm trying to make sure I have the groups right, the boy band right. But he's based here, and he worked with international artists. And he spoke at one of the workshops during the Crossroads Film Festival. I booked him to be a speaker at the Crossroads Film Festival. And when I received his info, I had so much homework, which I like that. I had so much homework to study and prepare for his workshop presentation. It was just amazing. And so James, he's 39 with a 20-year career, but his career spans through different mediums, in front and behind the scenes, dealing with academia, because he's very smart and intelligent, and from his family, entire family being artists, and also from being business people too, because his dad was, you know, a very good businessman, and you obviously, the entire family, not only are they artistic, but they are very, they're very logical and professional business, you know, they think business. Okay, we're creative, but let's do business properly. So it's so much to go into talking about his profile. So we'll do that because there's so many different people that like certain aspects, too, of his career, you know, from commercials to his books. To some people only like, you know, the Pineapple Express, Geeks and Freaks. He caught my attention with James Dean because I love old Hollywood and James Dean. Then he really didn't catch my attention until one of my besties from, because even though I enjoyed movies that he were in, enjoyed his work, one of my friends from one of my besties from my teen days wondered why I didn't include him in one of my 100 hot guys list when I asked for, you know, feedback regarding the compiling of the list. And then that's when I really, like, started researching and studying him to, you know, to put on my list and also for blogs. And from then on, we became pretty cool online friends. And so that's amazing. It caught me off guard. You know, I'm just researching and blogging and, you know, and I make friends with people from all backgrounds, and, you know, all backgrounds. So, you know, we became pretty cool online friends. So still waiting for my interviews and so on. So I'm compiling a lot of work. But let's see. So we have more awesome shows booked for this week, and I'm doing my best to keep my schedule, okay? So you all know my sister and I are co-caregivers for my mother, so I'm doing my best to stick to my schedule because as an entrepreneur, this is something I love, a passion project, but it is my work. And, you know, and your work, the way you work says a lot about you in regard to people that you do business with. So so I do understand that. So trying to get back into my screen so we can conclude the show. My password is like, not right now. You got to wait a few seconds. So definitely share with me what you're doing for Halloween. I've been seeing some amazing stories, and so many of you have been sharing your Facebook Live Halloween parties with me also. But it's been some fun parties going on out there, very fun parties. Like, whoa, I wish I was there. And I'm expecting to see some decorations, some decorations of homes. So I can't wait to see that. So I am... Okay, I'm back in. But I thank you all, and definitely lock in the number so in the future you can call in at 646-787-1578. And remember, tonight the Deuce finale, HBO. Check, you know, your time. My time, it airs at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. And I think I will go ahead and conclude the show. I just wanted to give you an update on events that are happening soon and things that have happened recently, like the Horror Nights event and James scaring people. Vulture Festival, for those of you that would be in L.A. on the 18 and 19, definitely attend that show and, well, that festival, and definitely support Crossroad Film Festival, which I'm a part of. I'm on various committees and also the volunteer music video showcase coordinator. Now, we are in screening mode. Matter of fact, there's a screening screening tonight at Robert Traub, who is over the screening committee, at his home tonight. And every Sunday and Wednesday, there's a screening at his home. We have potluck-type screening at his home, and then on Wednesday at Krause's home. And then also, for those of you that would like to have your own potluck-style screening parties, definitely let us know. And also, you can screen on your own online also. But good news for those of you that are artists and musicians and director of music videos, original song videos, filmmakers, you still have to December the 15th to submit your original song videos. Last year, the submissions were so awesome, so super, so amazing. So definitely submit, definitely go to crossroadsfilmfestival.com. When you go to the website, it will lead you it will instruct you to what to do then to submit your original song video. And also you can sign up to get updates, to be a volunteer, become a member, to become a sponsor. We're definitely looking for sponsors for each and all blocks. But I would love to lock in and secure a sponsor for the music video showcase. You know, definitely would like to secure, like, ASAP. Locally, regionally, nationally, internationally. No joke. But it was so awesome last year, and we're looking forward to the entire festival to be awesome. We're in reboot mode, and it's always fun, but we're in reboot mode, so it's going to be super fun this year, and it's from April the 12th to the 15th in Madison at Malco Grandview Theater, and the celebration will happen in the capital city of Jackson and in Madison. But before the Crossroads Film Festival, another speaker that spoke at the at one of the workshops, Melanie Addington. Melanie Addington is the executive director of Oxford Film Festival. And James happened to surprise the Oxford Film Festival back in 2015. And that festival will happen in February in Tupelo, Mississippi. And that's the Oxford Film Festival. And she presented an awesome workshop this past year during the Crossroads Film Festival regarding how to effectively interact via, whichever way you say it, social media. What's the difference? I love it. She broke it down. What's the difference in your reach and your engagement of your audience? You can reach a certain number of people, but are you engaging in a certain number of people, and how effectively are you engaging with those that you network with? You know, that's important. And she really broke down how to effectively interact and really pay attention. And I am a stat person. I am a numbers person. How to pay attention to your stats. When are those that you are networking with, when are they really checking out your posts, your engagements? When are they being reached? How often you share and post with those you network with is important. She is amazing. And that is the executive director of the Oxford Film Festival. And, again, her presentation, if you're ever networking with her on social media or meet her in person, I mean, that was just awesome what she shared with us. And she even handed out awesome handouts where people could really take it back with them and study and follow the guidelines of how to effectively network for those that are shopping, are promoting their film business, their film networking, their films. She breaks it down from whatever aspect or what part of the film art and film community that you're working in, how to effectively not only reach but engage with your audience. And that's something that I noticed, and like I said again, being a person from sales and marketing, you know, number in sales and in management, numbers are always important. It's always important. Being last year's numbers and stats, always important. You know, setting records and being the first, always important. And then something that I've heard too on your business, MSNBC, your business. I'm trying to remember. This is about a couple months ago, regarding the topic of social media, and they were talking about social influencers and so on. And social influencers, you know, you can be a social influencer if you. It's not the quantity of your followers or the people that you network with, but it's effectively how you market and network with those followers and with those people you network with. You can have like 400,000 followers, but if you're not effectively engaging with them, duh, but then you can have 4,000 and effectively network with them. So that was something that I had that caught my attention watching one of the broadcasts, one of my favorite shows, MSNBC, Your Business. You know, you can be a social influencer with, just because of your reach, how you engage with the ones that you do network with. You know, you don't have to have 100 million followers, which, I mean, it's good, right? but how are you effectively engaging and interacting with those that you do network with, you know? So, you know, that's amazing. But, again, Melanie Addison, you can contact her regarding the Austin Film Festival. The festival coordinator with Crossroads Film Festival is Michelle Baker, and our chairman is Robbie Fisher. And, again, you heard me say Robert Traub is the screening committee chairman. I work with the planning and the screening committee and social media, obviously, because even when I was in Texas, in 2016, I made sure I spread the word throughout social media because I missed the 2016 event. So definitely check out those film festivals because we had artists come. We have filmmakers come from – it's about Mississippi, but it's an international film festival, and all are welcome to submit. Just follow the guidelines. But the films are being screened now, but the original song, music videos, the deadline is December the 15th. First of all, you know, the showcase is about promoting and exposing the talents of Mississippi talent and those associated with Mississippi. But then also we feature regional, national, international artists, original song videos also. So, but first we do the Mississippi and those that are associated with Mississippi artists. And that's what they tell me and those that work with me on the Mississippi Music Video Showcase team to focus on that. And then, you know, but last year was amazing. We had people to come from Tennessee and from North Carolina. And last year for the filmmakers, I met people from Italy and just all over the country, all over the world. At the film festival. And so, again, we're looking forward to an amazing reboot, and it will be so much fun. But, again, I'm just reminding you guys that are in the L.A. area and just in L.A. The weekend before Thanksgiving, November 18th and 19th, the Vulture Film Festival in L.A. You can get your chance to meet and greet with James before, you know, and we need to try to keep him down to earth, right, before the premiere of The Disaster Artist. Also, that would be the weekend before Thanksgiving. But thank you so much for tuning in to Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. I am Beth, a.k.a. Be True. The last 10 minutes, I guess I can keep you updated with how to contact me. Email address, CultureShockInt, CultureShockInt_Beth@gmail.com. You can still email me at cultureshockinc_Beth@yahoo.com. But I have been having the worst trouble with my password. So So I have a new email account, but the other one is still valid. But you all know what I'm talking about, those of you that have Yahoo accounts. And that's a blessing to have an awesome security system like that, but my God, you know. And also you can check me out at Instagram, Beth Entrepreneur, the James Franco Project Group, GRP, on Instagram, Twitter, Beth Williams, BETHWMS, Culture Shock Inc., KULTRESHOKNT, my blog, Beth Entrepreneur, Tumblr.com. Also, I'm on Pinterest also. I'm back active on Pinterest. I love Pinterest. I'm pretty much I'm throughout social media. LinkedIn, I love LinkedIn. I love my LinkedIn connections. LinkedIn.com/IN/ Bethany C. Williams Entrepreneur, spelled that way. And again, we have Small Business Saturday coming up too. Remember, Small Business Saturday is the Saturday following Thanksgiving, and you know, the day after Black Friday and before Cyber Monday. Small Business Saturday is coming up, sponsored by American Express. So definitely visit their website and their Facebook page and everything and get all, you know, get your info and stuff and your business materials to be a part of that. So, you know, support local and also promote your businesses. So remember that, because we have done shows about Small Business Saturday in the past, remember? So definitely remember to connect with them and get your materials. So thank you again for tuning in. Big shout out to, I love my LeBron James, but a big shout out to those Pelicans also. And I seen LeBron's interview after the game. So, you know, I don't know what to say. Yeah, really? So I'll just leave it at that. But again, thank you. It's been a blast. And lock the number in, 646-787-1578. And create a profile so you can not only interact with me here on blogtalkradio.com at Culture Shock Entertainment Reports, but also interact with other awesome shows and hosts right here, podcasters right here at blogtalkradio.com. Big shout out to Cyrus Webb also regarding all of his success and just the entire blogtalkradio.com family. But much love to you guys, and thank you for the love and support. God bless. You have been listening to Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. I am Beth, a.k.a. Be True. You are super amazing. Hugs and kisses.